Jody Crumpy, director of the Erie City Mission Thrift Stores and Donation Center. When you shop at one of our two thrift stores or drop off items at our donation center, you are providing a meal, you are housing a man in our shelter, helping men and women overcome addiction, and giving our inner city youth an opportunity to learn. I want to thank you for making a difference. This is our city, our mission. God bless you.
All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
Mr. Ben Spagan of the Jefferson Educational Society is the vice president over there. And, Ben, it's been a while. We're glad that you're on with us, sir.
Joel, thanks so much for having me. This is always a pleasure. And cheers and congrats to you and Shaney and all the folks helping with Talk Erie and appearing on Talk Erie. It's such a great resource and asset for the community. So I always see it as an absolute honor to be here. So thanks for having me.
You got it, sir. All right, so you are getting ready to depart here pretty quickly to the Cities Summit of the Americas out in Denver. Tell us about this event and what you're going to be doing over there.
Yeah, so at this time tomorrow, Joel, I'm going to be touching down in Denver or close to it, might still be on the plane. So, you know, it's always interesting when you get an email that says, hey, you've landed on our radar, and that email happens to be from the State Department. I say that because that's never happened to me before, but it was a delightful surprise to wake up one morning and find that Kevin O'Reilly with the State Department, I'd apparently caught his attention, caught his attention with the work that we've been doing at the JES and several other things that I'm involved in. And he's helping to run this summit. Now, this is the first of its kind. It's a mouthful. It's the Cities Summit of the Americas. It's run by the State Department. The State Department does have experience doing this. They've been running the Summit of the Americas. So we've just tacked cities onto the first part. And so the Summit of the Americas, think macro of how countries are working together, how they might, ally resources, how they might function better in the Western Hemisphere. That's been the purpose of those summits. Last year, on the heels of the conclusion of it, then the Secretary of the State Department, Anthony Blinken, made the announcement that they'd actually look at the micro level, that they were finally unveiling the concept that they would take this to cities. Because we're really seeing cities drive a lot of foreign policy. We're seeing cities really as the laboratories of democracy. If the Chief Justice Brandeis quote from the 20th century is true about states or the laboratories of democracies, we're really seeing innovative experimentation happening at the local level, at cities. And so why not create a summit that convenes city leaders, community stakeholders, get them in rooms together, talking with one another. What's working at your local level? How might that work in peer cities or good analogs throughout our country, but beyond the entire Western Hemisphere? So I had the invitation to go out and also to present. So I'll be talking about the good work that we're doing in Erie, Pennsylvania through the Jefferson Educational Society.
It's really remarkable that that you would have this kind of platform, because it is, they're talking about subnational entities. So like, states and, you know, big metropolitan areas. Here we are in this really kind of smallish metro area. We're not the smallest, but we're certainly not the biggest. But we have a story to tell, right? I mean,
we absolutely do. Now, I mean, by you know, the definition and standard right now, Erie, Pennsylvania, the county is designated as rural. You know, so we're a rural area when you think about it. But really, when you think of the metro area. We look at the entire county. Now, yes, we have that nucleus in the middle, the city, and the city is the largest municipality of the 38 in the county. But, you know, how the city goes tends to influence how the rest of the county is going as it ripples out. And that's not specific to Erie. You see that in plenty of different places. But Joel, you're right. We're not a large metropolis. You know, I'm going to be, you know, learning from people from much larger cities. But I think, you know, there's a lot to be gained from what larger cities are doing, but there's also a lot to be gained from what smaller cities are doing. Because one of the things that we hear routinely at the JES is every town or city needs a this, you know, and we've been working on expanding our footprint, our services, what we do. And we really think that we have a model, you know, for many of places throughout the country, because the one thing that I think unites us right now is that we hear, you know, we're a divided country, you know, like that's the uniting battle cry, right? That, you know, we're so divided and we can't get along. How could we possibly do this? Well, the JES is a great model for how to create a platform for civil civic dialogue, get people on the right side of the spectrum, the left side of the spectrum, in the middle, all in the same room. Nobody really knows who's who, but they're all listening to an idea. They may not agree on it, but they can agree to disagree without being disagreeable. And I think that that's something that our country really needs right now, is that we can find spaces to get along. And we're seeing that at local levels where people work together in places big and small. But yeah, you're right. It's fun to have Erie, Pennsylvania on the map here at the City's Summit of the Americas, you know, networking internationally.
Indeed. You know, I'm thinking about the critical conversations that we'll have here on the show. And, you know, it comes to population loss and globalization and, you know, skills mismatching and so on. Do you anticipate some of these, like, really high felt needs coming to bear, places to learn or to benchmark, I guess?
I think absolutely, Joel. You know, okay. I mean, there are plenty of metro regions that are dealing with how are you shaping your 21st century identity? Because so many places have such a strong 20th century identity, wow. Right? That they've really shaped themselves around an industry that lasted, you know, not years, but decades. And if not decades, maybe a century, you know, and that's hard to then imagine what will you be next. So plenty of places are looking at how to reimagine themselves. And, you know, here in America, for instance, we really like the term post-industrial. We use that all the time. Our counterparts in Germany and other places in Europe actually don't favor that, because it looks at, you know, to them that says, look, we're trying to go away from industry. We can still be makers, right? You know, like we're evolving what we do. So it's not post anything, because we still make things, we make them differently. But there's a lot to be learned, you know, particularly about economic development, how that's unfolding at a local level, how community development is unfolding at a local level. And then, you know, looking at trends, and Erie, Pennsylvania is a great example of this, of how a population's ebbs and flows are really bolstered by new Americans, you know, how an immigrant population can really affect the makeup of a city. And that's something we see in Erie. You know, we've been talking about the population decline for years now, right? I mean, we peaked in the 60s, around 140, and it's been all downhill since there. It'd be farther downhill if it were not for the fact that we are now a designated welcoming city. You know, we welcome new Americans. That's been a platform of the current administration to really make the doors of Erie, Pennsylvania open. And then, you know, not just to welcome people, but have a pathway to opportunity. You know, we're seeing more shops, more stores, bodegas being opened by new Americans, something that I think we should celebrate. Other cities are trying that as well. You know, I think we have something to teach and share. I think we have something to also bring back with us and see what's working elsewhere.
Are you being joined by anyone locally, to this major event? Or are folks be able to tune in, let's say, on a webinar or something?
You know, that's a great question, Joel. I will say that I saw today, so the summit actually kicked off on Monday with some preliminary events, you know, a few speeches, particularly from those at the State Department. I've seen those live on LinkedIn, you know, so I'd recommend people follow Summit of the Americas on LinkedIn. The rest of it, I'm going to have to send you and Shaney an update once I get boots on the ground. Okay. So as soon as I land in Denver, I'll let you know this is being live streamed, if people can tune in, you know, what they might be able to see. I will say I'm going to try to do my best in terms of taking as many pictures and any sort of, you know, live tweeting that I can do. So, you know, folks are welcome to follow me at Ben Spagan, and they can follow Jefferson Erie, follow the JES on Twitter and Instagram. I'll try to share as much as I can. And of course, my goal is, you know, to come back with, you know, enough to share and also make sure people have heard our stories so that when I do get back, my hope is that I can put together some sort of write-up about all of this and, you know, share with our local audiences and beyond.
I think people need to understand that, you know, your opportunity to be able to share the JES story and, like you say, to, you know, to your commitment to democracy, lower D democracy, the idea that not every medium-sized city or metropolitan area has a think tank that has the kind of the wherewithal, the bandwidth to work on their stuff. We all work for our stuff, Ben, but when can we work on our communities and our cities and our neighborhoods and you know, our policy making, honestly?
Yeah, and that's, you know, we've seen in the past, you know, 15 years. So I'll do a shameless plug here if you'll let me, Joel. So it's our 15th year anniversary, right? So happy anniversary, JES. To me, it both feels younger and older. It feels older because I feel like it's been around a while, you know, and it longer than it has, perhaps. And maybe that's just because I joined the team in 2015. So, you know, it was underway already by the time I joined. But it still feels young and new because, you know, one, you know, we've got the biggest team we've ever had, and it's still a small team, mind you, but, you know, we've got young, dynamic people on the team. We've got, you know, more experienced and seasoned dynamic people on the team, but it's the idea that it's this incubator for ideas, right? You know, like that's what we traffic in, ideas, and we just want to go find out what's working. Might that work here in Erie? Could we find a way to adapt that? You know, that's something that's, you know, really, really exciting. And you don't see these. I had a digital program with the head of, I'll think of the name of the organization in a minute, but he's based in Northern Virginia. His name is Dale McDerris, and he's with a regional planning commission that's there. And I hosted him for a digital programming during the pandemic, you know, and I thought what they were doing in Northern Virginia was interesting, that, you know, would make sense for a program for us. And, you know, when I was in correspondence with him, he's the one that said, you're a Main Street think tank. And I really found that interesting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we often think of, you know, Washington, D.C. is the, you know, epicenter of the universe for think tanks, right? Like, you know, you're walking down the street, you trip over a think tank. Like, they're everywhere in D.C. Yeah. Mass Ave is just populated with them. So people often think Mass Avenue, they think, you know, Massachusetts Avenue, they think think tanks. But we're a Main Street think tank. I mean, we're on State Street. We're a little bit south, but that is Erie's Main Street.
That's
so
it.
We are community based. And so, you know, what we're trying to do is help the community put its best foot forward by being a place where ideas can be discussed. They can be vetted. They can be thought about so that there isn't this climate of gut decision making, mm-hmm. of, you know, community leaders and stakeholders just saying, well, this seems good. Let's do it for the day. That's how you end up with highways that divide your city. You know, that's how you end up with, you know, a divorce between your downtown and your crown jewel of the Bayfront. You know, like the gut decisions, you know, can have lasting impact for a long time. Now, we're working on a lot of those now, you know, and we're not the only place. You go through plenty of legacy cities, you see highways that are dividing them. That's a very common thing. But, you know, we feel like we can act as a space for ideas to be discussed, bring in experts, and we are blessed in our region in northwestern Pennsylvania to have plenty in our own backyard. But of course, we have the opportunity to bring in, you know, visiting speakers. We have a chance to use the Global Summit for stuff like this. So, you know, we have a chance to really talk about the future. And I think that's a thing that will help a lot of cities and towns nationwide and internationally.
If you don't mind, I'd like to do a little free form going on here. And let's get your temperature on where, let's start locally, where the climate is at, because I'm going to give you a hypothesis that I want you to push way back or agree or somewhere in the middle there. But I feel like with a lot of the efforts of the Jefferson, whether it was Metro 100, you've got the planning from Charles Bukey, you've got the formulation of the Erie Downtown Development Corporation, and a lot of good things. You know, the election of Mayor Schember. I felt like we were escalating to a lot more best practice locally, a lot of excitement and forward thinking. You know, we are starting to see some metrics move, you know, kind of like from that trough of that CBS report, you know, 2017, right? I mean, you remember it well. I feel like we've kind of plateaued a little bit and maybe even lost some some ground, especially when it comes to some of our leadership approaches. I don't want to just pick on the public sector, but I feel like right now we're not in like in that go-go trajectory that we were at as a community leadership-wise. Am I washed up on that?
So Joel, you're never washed up. So you're absolutely right to credit a lot of the momentum that had been happening, right? And you know, there were so many things that were happening in, you know, the mid-2010s, right? You know, and we see a lot of new things came online around that time, you know. So the JES, being, you know, one of them older, you know, launched in 2008. You also see, you know, the Erie County Gaming Revenue Authority come into really its own as an impact investor. You also see the birth of the Erie Reader, you know, happen during that time. You see Radius Cowork, you know, you see a lot of different things happening. I think you're so right to bring up the CBS report. And so for those that may not recall that specifically, I started nodding my head vigorously for those listening on the radio because I remember it. And Joel, if I could tell you the side story here. So yeah. I was actually still like, I hadn't woken up fully yet. And I get an email from Mark Moreau at Brookings, a senior fellow there. It says, are you watching CBS? And I flipped over because I was, you know, flipping around. And, you know, here there's a, you know, reporter. And, you know, she's doing a doom and gloom report on Erie. And it's, you know, how could it have possibly happened that a, you know, Democratic stalwart flips red, you know, and that, you know, they've all gone to Donald Trump and he's the only one that's going to save them. You know, and then she goes down 12th Street and she's being told that these are completely vacant buildings and nothing's here anymore. We don't make anything anymore. That, of course, you know, is riddled with, you know, untruths. You know, one, the 12th Street corridor is more than 90% capacity. It's right. Just small manufacturing. There aren't big neon light signs out in front to let people know, but there's still a lot happening there.
Yeah, we're still, we're not making steam shovels, but we're making something.
Right. And, you know, so two examples there. Sorry, I'm going to go off on a million tangents, Joel, because this is big, right?
Yeah.
You know, so one, you know, just a great interview that happened, I want to say it was last week. It was in advance of Earth Day, and Steve Scully on the Bipartisan Policy Center and the SiriusXM host of The Briefing on the POTUS channel, and of course, proud native Erie son, had Ali Zadi on. And Ali Zadi is the climate advisor for the Biden administration. He grew up in Edinburgh. We had him for the virtual summit. Great guy. He actually cited Northwestern Pennsylvania and said, look, it's places that can adapt their economies. They're still WAPTEC. They're still making stuff. Now they're making, you know, electric locomotives. They're making green locomotives. They're still doing that. And that's something that's, you know, that's happening, that's vibrant just out in Lawrence Park. So, you know, we're still seeing that, and we're seeing a climate approach to that. Back to the 12th Street corridor, so I'll just go on a tangent there for a second. What the Erie County Redevelopment Authority is doing with the build out there and, yeah. and their plans, wholly ambitious and really impressive. I had a chance to tour that when John Austin was in for the Global Summit and brought a European study tour group, European counterparts, looking at what they're doing in post-industrial, I know they don't like that term, but post-industrial cities, legacy cities, what they can learn. And that was one of the sites we toured, hard hats and all. And it's really impressive what Tina Mangine and her team are doing there, what they're aspiring to do. So I think there's a lot of momentum there. Now, I'm burying my answer because you asked, you know, is this the wind out of the sails? Well, you know, of course, we were all really flustered about this. You know, this isn't our Erie, right? How it was portrayed on national media, which led to the film, the very short film, Our Erie, you know, narrated by C. Brown, an amazing local talented poet, rapper, DJ, and much more artist. You know, and that was a collaborative effort, you know, amongst a suite of people, you know, myself included, full transparency. I helped write some of it and do some of the editing for the script. That still holds up today. You know, yeah. We're still fighting. I think one of the challenges in Erie's not alone here is that the pandemic really impacted a lot of momentum nationwide. Why? Because we were out in the streets, we were working together, we were getting stuff done, and then suddenly you can't get together.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, and we still see, you know, it's not as if the pandemic is fully over. Let us not forget there are still people suffering from COVID-19, losing their lives to COVID-19. It's still with us. Now we're living with it, right? It's the endemic. You know, we've decided this is how we're moving forward, as not to stall any more progress, that we have to keep moving forward. So I think you're going to see the momentum build back. You know, I think that you're going to start to see that spark happen again. I referenced earlier the work that's being done by the Erie County Redevelopment Authority on 12th Street. Very impressive. People should look into that and check that out. Also, Infinite Erie. So one of the things that happened at the onset of the pandemic was Bruce Katz, you know, a big fan of Erie, working with us, now working with Infinite Erie.
Ben Spagan, he's the vice president of the Jefferson Educational Society, making his way here to the City Summit of the Americas in Denver, Colorado, as a presenter and a participant. I'm sure you'll make us proud there, Ben. That's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Joel. I really do. I'm honored to be included, and I'm honored to be trusted with the message of the good stuff that's happening in Erie, and also to discuss, you know, challenges. You know, I think you've got to pair them. It's a match, challenge and opportunity. How do you address each? You know, so to be able to share a little bit of our story and present about that, really excited to do it, but also equally excited to see what I can bring back, you know, because it's not as if we have all the answers or all the ideas here in Erie. You know, we could stand to learn from other places nationwide and throughout the Western Hemisphere. So it's an opportunity to really learn from other places, see what we can do, and continue to move the region forward as smartly, you know, as possible, including people in the discussion.
I want to go back to our conversation about leadership. A couple more minutes on local, and then we'll kind of widen this out. You know, we've had some turnover with our authorities. Very excited about Gus Pine, for example, taking over the Convention Center Authority. Again, he's been, a veteran there. But we have some new folks that are taking over the port. We've got the airport that's kind of, you know, hitting some struggles that are kind of existential or, you know, systemic problems with the airline industry. Let's take the airport, for example, we've had many great conversations with Derek Martin, but I don't know what you can do when there's just not enough pilots to fly those planes to Erie that have been full all this time, but yet an airline like United says, I don't care if you're full or not, we're not coming.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking, Joel. You know, I remember right before the pandemic, Erie was quick to celebrate, as it should, that it now had a direct flight to Washington, D.C. You know, that you were able to get on a plane in Erie, Pennsylvania, and touch down in D.C. in about an hour. You know, and the opportunity that presents is just enormous, right? Because sure. Now, you know, you can get people out of our city and network in another city and then get them back on a plane and back home, you know, before dinner. You know, you can turn around and have day meetings, you know, afternoon meetings. So it is exceptionally challenging. You know, will the new folks rise to the occasion to bring more back to the, you know, the airport to further develop the port? You know, to be determined, but, you know, I think the best thing that we can do as, you know, residents in an area is express our desire to have that, make our voices heard, that, look, you know, I don't have the answers. I'm not running the airport authorities. I can't tell you how do we get United back, you know, or how do we attract American, or how do you get Delta? But what I hope is that the director of the airport authority and the board are going to be at work on this. So, you know, I make my voice heard of how do we get more? How do we fix this? There have to be other airports out there that are figuring out the way to do it. You know, one of the things that really helped boost Burlington, Vermont, for instance, was, you know, these very quick in and out flights to Boston and to New York. You could live in Burlington and work in Boston and New York. And that was before remote work became such a popular thing, right? You know, so, you know, we've got to figure out a way to drum up more attention because, look, we built the runway expansion so we can have more flights. You know, we've outfitted the airport for it. So, you know, it's time to consider how we do this. The Port Authority can also be exploring ways to better connect the city to its crown jewel. I mentioned earlier, Presque Isle. You know, how do you get across there with a ferry more easily? Easy traffic back and forth. How do we do that? How do we make sure that we're taking full advantage of something like Don John, which is an amazing industry in Erie, one of the largest dry docking station, you know, on the lake. We have it right here in Erie. You know, how do we make sure the world knows about that? You know, people can focus on what's happening, you know, at our port. So plenty of work still to be done, but I think that as residents, you know, we have to make sure, you know, our voice is heard. Can we build a consensus? What's the most important thing that we can be working on? How do we leverage that and get to work at it?
Yeah, we, you know, it's so funny because a lot of these assets all came up in the major planning, you know, the major planning that happened in the 20-teens. If we go back to, you know, Emerge 2040, if we go back to the Buki plan, you know, Erie Refocus, we were talking about these assets. And I know a lot of what is going on is in reaction to planning. But, you know, here we are almost to the mid to 2020s. And it may beg the question of, is there additional planning and additional collaboration? So when we, right before the bottom of the hour, we were talking about Infinite Erie and this unprecedented time of like $1.2 billion that could be available to us in state and national funding. Where do you see that could work? You talk to Bruce Katz a lot, you know, I mean.
Yes, and so, you know, I'll tell you what's not going to work, not having a playbook. You know, that's like the worst thing we could do, right? Or not having a singular unified voice to say, here are the projects we're looking at, here's what we're doing. Way too many to dive into here in the limited time we have. But what I will say is, you know, this is the ability of, you know, I think smart planning and smart thinking, you know, this goes back to 2014, the first time Bruce Katz ever came to Erie. He presented at the Global Summit, and you know, for various reasons, you know, Erie caught his attention.
I paid $35 for that ticket.
Yeah, so
I wanted to go see him. I bought the book.
I remember when, so that was before I was working at the JES, and I was like, this was like an NPR driveway moment for me. Like, I'm sitting in the driveway finishing, like, listening to him on NPR, and I get a text from Ferky Ferrati, the president of the Jefferson now, and he says, I'm really thinking about bringing in this Katz guy. What do you think? And I was like, get it. It's amazing. The book is great. You know, like, I couldn't, and I had the good fortune of interviewing him on stage when he was done, and then I joined the team shortly after. So, you know, Bruce and I took a look at this, you know, what makes Erie, Pennsylvania special, you know, at the start of the pandemic, that it could be a proxy, the downtown could be a proxy for the nation and how we handled the pandemic. Bruce could have chosen any of the cities and towns he's worked with. He wanted to work with Erie. So we did this report, the New Localism Advisors published it, available at eriereader.com at the JES website as well. And one of the businesses we focused on was Ember and Forge. You know, what would the pandemic do to a place like Ember and Forge? You know, we focused on them and Lavery Brewing Company. Now, two really good examples, because this week, if you note, it's like the one week in however many years they've been open, you can't drink beer at Lavery Brewing because they're closed to finish their expansion, because they're building out the rest of their location. So they've grown since the pandemic.
They moved into Hungry Howie's, right? I mean, yeah.
Right. So, like, it's we lost a chain restaurant and a local restaurant took that over. Now, think about where Ember and Forge is on State Street. Mm-hmm. So we saw during the pandemic, Starbucks closed. What's still open? Ember and Forge. Yep. So two local places are thriving. So I think that gives me hope and optimism that, you know, there are still good days ahead and better days ahead for Erie, because local people are bought in on what makes their place special and what they want to give to their place and what they want to be able to do. So those are two examples of, you know, we're still trying at it. So Joel, back to your question that I've evaded for way too long of, you know, is the wind out of our sails? I think the pandemic took the wind out of everybody's sails, you know, and it has touched everyone, right? You know, we all know people who have had it, or we've had it ourselves, or we've lost loved ones, or loved ones are still, you know, experiencing difficulties. You know, we're working through it. It's going to take a while to build back. You know, it's a once in a century hit. No one anticipated. But something like Infinite Erie now, with state and federal dollars that are going to be available that we can go after, to have a playbook guided by one of the leading urbanists in the country who knows Erie well. This isn't like Bruce parachuting in and out and saying, oh, here's your playbook. No, he knows us. He had a 7-8 year history with Erie to then help launch this playbook. And now it's in the great stewardship of Kim Thomas and Mary Treadway's in that office now. And they're working on this stuff, trying to secure it.
But the pushback, just a second here. It feels like this inclusive playbook has brought out the silos again of, okay, the port is mine, or this area is mine. You know, which economic development agency is going to go after these particular dollars? And what about broadband? And what about stormwater? I mean, think about it here. We're talking about an alphabet soup of agencies and commissions and authorities that you're asking to say, hey, you know, inform me and also work with me so that we can get the best bang out of our buck. Are we ready for all that?
Yeah, so the answer to that is, you know, we need to make sure, and don't get me wrong, we have leaders that operate like this. But in my opinion, Joel, we need leaders that are in it for the we, not for the me. You know, it doesn't matter who gets the credit at the end of the day, you know, and then that's what the spirit of this should be, right? You know, that if this improves Erie, it improves it for all of us, you know, and it doesn't matter where the credit goes. So, you know, I think that's where we've got to look for, of not the people that want to hang their hat on, you know, like, I've saved the day, me alone, only I can do this, but that really it's a collective effort and that people can work together on this. So, you know, as residents, that's what we've got to be looking for in leadership, you know, people that can do this together, you know, and not suddenly, while, you know, we've had our eyes off of the streets for a couple of years, you know, the silos have been bricked up again. You know, we don't want that, right? You know, we want to be able to see an inclusive approach and ways for people to continue the work that's already been done. Another example I'll give, Joel, is in the current issue of the Erie Reader, on stands now and available at eriereader.com. I have a piece that looks at Groundwork Erie. Now, Groundwork Erie is the 21st trust that is part of a nationwide network called Groundwork USA, and it addresses environmental justice issues, and it does it through an inclusive model. Aaron Kerr, who was formerly a professor at Gannon, left that position to be the executive director of this, and getting it launched up. That comes straight out of the Buki plan, right? That's what it calls for, is that we've got to get into the communities, work at the street level. How do we do this? Well, now we're part of a 21-wide network. So we can talk to people in Jacksonville, Florida, and see what they're doing. We can talk to people in Alabama and see what they're doing. We can talk to people in Ohio and see what they're doing. We're now part of a network where we've seen youth-led initiatives that involve youth and pay them. So more summer jobs for youth, pathways to opportunity and careers. And we also see a resident-included process where people can get on the streets and actually talk to the people living in the communities. What do you want to see happen on your street? Do you want more trees? Do you want bike lanes? Do you want your stormwater runoff better dealt with? Listening is one of the most important things. And I say that as a guy who talks a lot and has talked a lot on this show, but listening is so important. And that's what really caught my eye about Groundwork. And I really think that Aaron Kerr is onto some great stuff. Now, this just launched, so it's brand new, you know, but there's an opportunity to support this, lift it up, you know, and see how Erie now becomes part of a, again, national network of places doing this work.
I want you to pull back a little bit. Let's go to statewide level here. Of course, the JES is very much hangs its hat on the Civic Leadership Academy here, where there's a strong connection with Harrisburg. We've got a new governor. We've got a divided government with Republicans who manage the Senate, Democrats narrowly managing the House, and a Democratic governor. It feels like it's going to bode well for actually getting more stuff done. But on a policy level, what do you think, what are some of the policy ideas that you think that Governor Shapiro has been talking about, or maybe that you're hearing out of the legislature that could be beneficial to third class cities like Erie?
Boy, so exciting times indeed, right, Joel? You know, yeah. And one of the things that I've been impressed by so far is Governor Shapiro's vigor. You know, he is out there. He is really working hard. One of the early things that I was impressed with was removing the college degree requirement for government jobs. I think it really, that to me is, I say that as a first generation college grad, right? You know, like, my parents are blue collar folks, my grandparents are blue collar folks, and I had the opportunity afforded to me through their hard work. I'm the son of a coal miner and the grandson of a mason, so, you know, I understand hard work. But they worked with the idea that, like, I should go to college because I can have a better life than them. And then who would have thunk that I'm coming out of college at the time of the Great Recession, and then all of these other, the housing market collapse and all these other things happening. So not a great time to, you know, be looking for work, no matter who you are. But, you know, we have unfortunately seen this priority placed on, you know, college grad. And look, college is great. I say that as somebody who really valued it and would go back and do it again in a heartbeat. But I do know it's not for everyone, right? And we can't lock people out of opportunity because they haven't gone to college, you know, and maybe they've acquired the skills elsewhere, you know, maybe they've acquired the aptitude elsewhere. Maybe the job is what gets them a pathway to more education, whether it's an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree, all the way up to a professional degree or doctorate, you know? So really impressed with that, what his administration was doing. I think taking a look at the innovation economy is going to be something really interesting to see what, you know, the governor and his administration does in terms of, you know, lifting up. Because if you look, you know, state to state, Pennsylvania is essentially middling when it comes to the innovation economy.
Right.
Now, we can continue to middle along, but as we middle, others are going to go up, you know, we could start going down. So we've got to think about how we're building the next economy. The
I mean, Elon Musk is not looking at Pennsylvania for any kind of, you know, development. You know, I mean, now, thank God that we have Google and self-driving cars and, you know, I think Uber, who else is down in Pittsburgh, right? The Carnegie Mellon is a true magnet, you know.
Well, so that's the really interesting thing, Joel, is so if you look at Pittsburgh, you've got the University of Pittsburgh and you've got Carnegie Mellon. And, you know, that's an innovation hub right there with the two universities. Now, in our neck of the woods, you'd go, well, we don't have R1 universities. And that's a university that's, you know, the research forward. They're creating those jobs around that. However, and I really say that with the inflection, there was a Brookings report that came out late 2022, authored by Mark Moreau and Rob Maxim. And the interesting thing that they point out is Erie's featured in it. And the interesting thing that they point out is really the Beehive Network, the Northwestern Pennsylvania Beehive Innovation Beehive Network. And it's this concept modeled after something in the Netherlands where if you have smaller entities, if they just joined forces, right, like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers all come together and, you know, we can be, you know, greater than the sum of our parts, you can actually replicate the capacity of an R1 university. And so, you know, having an entry point like the County Public Library, which is amazing, and that's a third space that so many people are more comfortable with walking into than perhaps a university if they've never set foot on a university campus. So you can access the Beehive Network through that, and then you can access, you know, resources at any one of the area universities, all specializing in something. You've got Edinburgh, you've got Gannon, you've got Mercyhurst, you've got Penn State Barron, all collaborating toward this. You've got it funded by ECRA, you know, and you've got a match through the Appalachian Regional Commission, you know, to be able to power that. That's exciting. You know, like that's where new businesses, that's where you can experiment. Not everything that goes through the Beehive is going to work, right? But that's sort of like why we should have a laboratory, is that not every experiment's going to work out. This goes back to the Edison thing, right? 99 ways not to make a light bulb, 101 I found it. You know, like that's, we need the ability to do that. That's how we're going to move forward. So while Pennsylvania as a whole is middling, you know, a place like Erie stands out because it's got this thing, you know, and we need to pay attention to that thing. We need to encourage people to take advantage of the resources available there, because the next best thing, not just for Erie, but for the country, could be living in Erie, Pennsylvania right now, inside somebody's head, right between their ears. They just haven't found the place to plug it in. You get them the connection to the resources and, you know, something big comes out of there. You know, it could be monumental.
I've got just a couple minutes left with Ben Spagan here from the Jefferson, and I got to ask you the question I've been asking of leaders since the beginning of the year, and it started with a conversation with James Gronke at the Erie Regional Chamber of this idea that jobs chase workforce, and companies chase workforce, that if you want to build jobs, you need to have the population and the skilled workforce. And, you know, of course, the addition of the community college is a good one. The, some of the renewed interest in trades and so on. But it's still the population piece that is eluding us. We still are declining in population. And I'm talking about the metropolitan area. I'm talking about Erie County. What are your thoughts as you scan the globe? I mean, do kids just even want to move to a place like Erie vis-a-vis an Asheville, North Carolina, or Austin, Texas?
So my guess why you said both of those, I'll get to in a second.
They're both A's. Go ahead.
Well, they're both A's. That's why you picked them. We're on cities that begin with vowels, right?
Yeah, right.
Asheville, Austin, and Erie.
Erie, yeah.
Before I get to why I think you've mentioned both of those, I'll say you're spot on, Joel. And actually, this year, the JES's Civic Leadership Academy, the topic for that is raising the next generation of Erie. You know, one, how do you get families that are in their 20s, 30s, 40s to want to be here to raise a family? And then how do you get the kids to, you know, maybe not necessarily stay, but not run away? You know, like they could come back, right? Like people should go out and experience the world. You know, if you've only known the block you've ever grown up on, that's your world. But if you have the chance to experience the world, you could bring something back. Like I'm going to get the chance to bring back something from Denver. So getting away for a while is a good thing. The reason I think you mentioned those, Joel, is those are quality of life cities. You know, those are places that have built amenities that, you know, people just want to be, want to experience, vibrant art scenes, you know, places to hang out and gather. Those are things that I think are important too. Those will draw a workforce to an area that, you know, people want, you know, good livable cities, you know, and that's one of the things people want to be able to walk around the city, right? And, you know, feel like it's vibrant, things are happening. People want to be able to bike around a city, feel like things are happening. People want to be able to get outdoors and go places. And I think we're really seeing that. You know, I know he, you know, just recently left, but Patrick Fisher has done amazing things, right, at Erie Arts and Culture in terms of a lot, but specifically in terms of public art. There's more public art in Erie than I've ever seen before. And it's just great, right? But there's also this buy-in of, like, support what's going on. And, you know, if you drive through Perry Square on the pillars, you see banners advertising what's happening in the city or creating awareness around causes. You know, you start to see stuff's happening here, right? So, you know, where Asheville and Austin have gotten it right is they've gone in on character, you know, like they've developed an ethos of who they are. Like, keep Austin weird, right? Everybody knows
right,
that
yeah.
one, you know, and Asheville's kind of become this mountain darling, you know, that everybody thinks of, like, everybody's gotten it right. Same sort of thing with Burlington. But let's not forget that, you know, in the 80s, Burlington, you know, they still a heavily industrialized port city, you know, right on Lake Champlain. They've made some smart decisions over time to change that. And it goes all the way back into the 70s. So, you know, it's
well,
been said in
well,
Erie.
Well, Grunke says, you know, Missoula was a hole in the wall, you know, and they really refocus their efforts, but
right, and it's going big on something and trying to create identity. Two examples I give: one, it's been said in areas, but said other places. You know, last person out turned the lights off. Right now, we believe that originated in Seattle in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Like, so two guys purchased a billboard, put it up. You know, mm-hmm. as sort of like a, you know, we got to turn this thing around. Like, it was sort of that, you know, trying to reverse psychology, trying to get people. Yeah. And look at Seattle now. Darling city, right?
Exactly.
Another example I'll use is there's a really small town of about 800 people in South Carolina called Great Falls. They have over about 20 years worked on becoming an ecotourism destination. They've just launched a whitewater initiative where people can drive in and do amazing whitewater there. Now, that's, you know, talk to people there now and they go, oh, it's like an overnight success. Well, 20 years is like a long night,
right, yeah.
for that to happen.
Sure.
But this is a little town of 800 people where the mills closed, people left, they're down to, you know, just, you know, a few people left, but, you know, they're betting on their place, you know? So I think Erie can do it too. Erie is doing it.
We got to leave it there. I want to wish you well on your trip representing Erie, Ben Spagan. It is so much fun to talk to you, and we're looking forward. I'm sure the wheels are turning on the Global Summit for 2023. We're looking forward to hearing that announcement coming up in the next couple months here, I would think.
Yeah, we're going to announce that at June 10th at our gala down at the Bayfront Convention Center. So if you want to be the first to hear, we'll see you at the gala. Joel, always a pleasure to be here. Love these conversations. Could talk to you for hours. This is great stuff. Keep up the great work. Thanks to you. Thanks to Shaney and your whole team for all of this.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@TalkErie.com.